give him a hand as it comes.
Praise God. I love the picks for worship tonight. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you sitting here tonight can say that Jesus has set me free from one thing or another?
Amen.
How many?
Amen.
I had shared a couple of times already since coming on Sunday that Jesus set me free from drugs, and I mean all kinds of drugs, cocaine, marijuana. Well, that's legal now, isn't it? Cocaine, almost. Acid, all that stuff. Jack Daniels. And, you know, the Bible says that the saints are preserved. They're not pickled. So, I had to do that. But I found out it's true that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. You know, there was an old saint back in about the year 500 or so, Augustine. And he said this, "Lord, we will find no peace until we find our peace in Thee." And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and friend, you're going to be spinning your wheels until the day you die. And frankly, if you think you're going to make it to heaven on your own good deeds, you ain't going to make it. Jesus is very clear. God's word is very clear that our good deeds are as filthy rags to God. Because sometimes we have impure motives, don't we? Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's only, like we said last night, we talked about the cross of Calvary. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ that can cleanse you. You can't work your way to heaven. Impossible. Salvation is a free gift through His precious blood, which washes you clean. We talked about on Sunday morning, the title of the message was Grace to Forgive. Talked about the fact that if you don't forgive others, God cannot forgive you. Man, that's serious business. And if you don't forgive others, you become bitter. And you become crotchety and angry. And it's funny, but it's true. And you become miserable and you make everybody else around you miserable. And if you don't forgive, guess what? You ain't making heaven. Sunday night we talked about saving grace. How the fact is that heaven is a gift to us. All we got to do is accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, a friend. And we get into heaven on His ticket. We talked about grace to be courageous on another night. Because, loved ones, we live in dangerous times, don't we? If we've been around any number of years, like most of us here have, we've seen this country go... Things are pretty crazy. And now we face this demonic Goliath called Islam. It is demonic. I won't even get into that tonight. But we conquer, how? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony.
Amen.
We love those who hate us. We pray for those who abuse us and curse us. We bless them and we don't curse in return. And tonight I want to ask you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, please. On September 4th, I drove from my home in Morgantown, West Virginia, back to Dayton, Ohio, which was the place of my birth, where my family still resides. I just wanted to go back that weekend to visit family and to see my mom, who was in hospice care. My mom was very weak. She is 86 years old. And my mom and I had a very special relationship. She raised my sister and I alone. My dad was nowhere around. My mom loved Jesus Christ with all of her heart. She raised us in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. She was a Catholic, strong Catholic lady, but she loved Jesus Christ. And she was born again. On the morning of September 5th, which was a Friday morning, I was just going to go and visit my dad at his condo in Dayton when I received a call from my brother-in-law, Mark, and he said, Tony, hospice called. And they said, your mom, it looks like she's going to be passing away here very soon. And so, okay. I started praying, turned around the other way and went to hospice care. There, my family and I, a good number of our family, gathered in my mom's hospice room for most of that day because it was her time to go home to be with Jesus. This was last September 5th. We had a wonderful time. We really did. We laughed. We talked. My mom was so weak, she just kind of lay there. But every once in a while, she would open her eyes and talk to me very softly. And I had my chair right next to her head, right next to the bed. And she would talk in my ear. And she kept saying this. She said this about five times. She said, son, please pray that Jesus will take me home. Ask Jesus to take me home. I said, I will. I said, you know I am. You know I am. We sat around as a family. We laughed. We talked. We cried. And right before she left the planet, I was reminded of the songs that I used to sing with her growing up in the church that she taught me. She was the choir director. And I led our family in a couple of hymns right there in her hospice room. And because she knew Jesus and knows Jesus, I said, I whispered in her ear, I said, and her eyes were open. I said, Mom, we're going to pray now. We're going to sing a little bit. And she says, good, okay. And we sang, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Not long after that, she took her last breath and went home to be with Jesus. Now, as a pastor, a former pastor and a minister, I'm still a minister, I've been at the bedside of people who have gone home to heaven to be with the Lord, and they knew exactly where they were going because they knew exactly in whom they had believed, in their Redeemer, their Savior, Jesus Christ. Conversely, I know of the bedside of those that resisted and rejected Christ. And that is a frightful sight to behold. When someone in the last throes of dying cusses, snarls, spits, scratches at the ear, and goes to hell forever and forever and forever. We can have that blessed assurance. We can. Jesus is ours. He paid an awesome price on that cross at Calvary when he was beaten almost to death, when he had Roman spikes driven through his hands, a crown of thorns, spikes through his feet, and a spear through his heart. And yet he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And his last words were, "It is finished," meaning it is accomplished. He bore your sin and mine. He bore your punishment and mine on that cross. You can know tonight that heaven will be your home. And I don't care how old you are or how young you guys are. My daughter has very good friends from high school who were killed texting and driving. Boom! Instantly, they're gone. 16. 16 years old. 17. We don't know. You know, heaven forbid if we should walk out and get run over by a car on 2nd Street. Yeah, I mean, you're not promised another day. But you need to know, and you need to have the joy inside of knowing, I know Jesus. And I know that this here is temporary. Everything around you, touch your neighbor, touch your wife, touch the pew, everything you can touch, see, hear, smell, all of this is temporary. This is going away, folks, including you and me. This is temporary. Are you ready to die? Let me ask you. Are you ready to die? Turn to the Gospel of John. Tonight, the title of this message is, "And Grace Will Lead Me Home." John chapter 14, verse 1. Jesus' own words. He said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." Say mansions. Notice Jesus didn't say double wides. Praise God. "In my Father's house are many mansions." Praise God. Maybe we'll be neighbors. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know." Here's Thomas, though. "But Thomas said unto him, Lord, how can we know? We don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me." It's Jesus and Jesus alone. Jesus alone. One of the most brilliant authors in human history was the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And Paul wrote these words about heaven that are in 1 Corinthians. He said, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." Boy, I am fearful for those people that I have met and people I haven't met who say, "I don't want no part of your God. Stay away. Leave me alone." And you know what? When they die, God will grant that request. Be very careful about that. Pray for your lost loved ones and friends that their hearts would be softened toward Jesus. But tonight, though, let's turn our imaginations loose just for a few minutes and let our imaginations soar. and dream about a place of such unbelievable, breathtaking beauty that even Paul couldn't describe it. He could only say, your wildest dreams can't grasp half the beauty or half the joy of heaven. So what is heaven? For one thing, heaven is a real place. It is real. It's not some kind of ethereal state of mind. No. It's not some illusion. Jesus promised, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also. Man, that's good news to me. The older I get, that's better news every day. Praise God. Can we begin to imagine a kind of place the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is preparing for you and me? Mansions. I only know one definition for mansions, and I like it. Oh, yeah. Praise God. It says in the New Testament that Stephen, a young man Stephen, saw heaven while he was being stoned to death. And the Bible states, but Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And Stephen said, look, I can see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And then Stephen died and was received into heaven. Heaven is a place of absolute beauty, of perfection. Heaven is four square, meaning it's perfection personified. Heaven has no sickness, no hospitals, no cancer wards, no 12-step programs, no surgical centers, no prisons, no weeping, no parting, no more suffering. For these former things have passed away. Heaven is also a place of reunion. It's the place where the saints of all ages will be gathered together for an eternal, eternal family reunion. Oh, man. People often ask, will we know each other in heaven? My answer is, absolutely. The Bible says we will. We will know each other. There was a lady in my last church that I pastored in Morgantown, West Virginia. Her name was Sharon, a great prayer warrior. And she had a book that was written in 1962 by an Assemblies of God woman. For the life of me, I don't remember the name of it. The book is out of print for many years. Her copy was all yellow and torn up and everything. But it's a story of this Assembly of God lady who was elderly when she wrote it, back in 62, about going through some sort of operation. And on the operating table, she died. And guess where she went? Because she knew Jesus. She said she left her body in an instant through this white light, like this tunnel of white light. And she felt hands holding her like under her arms and leading her straight to the gates of heaven. And she said there at the gates was her family. Family that had gone on before her to greet her. You're going to have a welcoming committee. And she says, the joy I can't even begin to describe. And then she said, and then I met Jesus. Face to face. And she described him and she said, those eyes were so, she said they were like liquid love. Just love emanated from Jesus' eyes. And she said, his countenance was so bright, brighter than the sun. And he embraced her, and he hugged her, and he said, I want to show you. I want to show you around. And he took her by the hand. Jesus, the Lord of glory, took her by the hand and walked up and down, guess what? Streets of gold. And she says, in many parts of the streets of gold, you could see right through the gold. It was transparent. And she said, he showed me plants and trees and flowers, she said, I had never ever seen on earth. She said, these flowers, many of them, you could see right through them. But they were solid to the touch. And she said, the smell was unbelievable. Never smelled anything like that on earth. And she said, the colors, there were no earthly colors to compare it to. Far beyond all that you can ask, think, or imagine, the Bible says. She said, Jesus then told her, I want to take you somewhere really special. She says, Lord, this is special enough. He says, no, I want to take you somewhere in particular. And they're walking down this street of gold, and there are, guess what? Mansions. Praise God. Mansions. No double wides. Mansions. Mansions. And there were men, almost like construction type guys, not like here, but she said, that's the only way I can describe it. And she said, she asked who they were. And the Lord told her, those are angels preparing dwelling places for people just like you. And so he leads her down this street a little bit farther. And he takes her into one particular mansion. And she hears singing, a woman singing. And the Lord leads her through this house, this mansion, this dwelling place, whatever you want to call it. And there's a young woman standing at what looks like a kitchen counter. Back to Jesus, back to this woman. And she's singing some old Pentecostal hymn that they used to sing in church. And it looks like she's preparing, lo and behold, food in heaven. We don't need it. There's going to be a banquet. We'll have it. We won't need it. We can have it. She's preparing food of some sort. And the woman says to Jesus, and the young woman at the countertop turns around, and it's her mother. Her mother looked like maybe she was 23 years old in the prime, you know, just in the prime of eternal life. Young, eternally young and vibrant and alive. And she embraced her mom, and it was a wonderful reunion. And they talked and talked and talked, and she asked her mom, what are you preparing for? And she says, well, the family's coming over. This happens a lot. Praise God, Sunday dinner! Woo! And then Jesus turns to her and he says, all right, I'm going to have to send you back now. And she said, no. Lord Jesus, please, no. I don't want to go back. And you know, that's the report of many people who go temporarily and come back. They don't want to come back to earth. He said the same thing to her back in 1962 that he says to so many people now that he sends back. No, you go back. Your work's not done. Tell everyone, I am coming soon. And when Jesus says that, he means it. And whoosh, she's back in her body. And she lived another 20 years. And then went home for good to be with the Lord. Heaven is a place of reunion, an exquisite beauty. Will we recognize each other? Of course. The Bible says we'll recognize Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So surely we're going to recognize everybody else. When Jesus rose from the dead, his disciples recognized him. He encouraged his disciples to, he says, look, touch my body. Touch me. He wanted them to touch his supernatural body. He said, behold my hands and feet with the nail holes. You could still see through them. Look at my hands and feet. Go ahead, touch it. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. And dear ones, you too will recognize your family and friends in heaven just as you knew them on earth. What is heaven? Heaven is also a place of promotion. See, when human beings speak of death, we use words like farewell, or goodbye, or the end of life. And we use the word separation. Forever. No, it's not. When God speaks of passing from this world, He speaks of our death as a precious promotion from this life to the next. It's a promotion. When I was a little boy, I remember my grandma, who I loved dearly. She was about that tall, little tiny Lithuanian woman, but boy, she was the boss. She was the boss. And I remember, this was long ago, Martin Luther King Jr.'s funeral. We were watching it on TV at her house. And I was a little bitty kid, and I'm wearing a sweater on that particular day. And we're sitting there watching Martin Luther King's funeral, and I said to her, Graham, I was a weird kid, so bear with this story. I said, Graham, what's it like to die? She says, why? Why do you ask that? I said, I'm scared to die. I don't want to die. Here I am, 8 years old. I don't want to die. I'm claustrophobic. And what if I wake up in that casket and can't get out? I'll go crazy. I was 8 years old. Give me a break. And she says, nah. It's not like that. She says, you love Jesus, right? I says, yeah, I do. She says, and you want to serve Him, right? I said, yeah. And she says, okay, I'll tell you exactly what death is like. It's like this. She says, you got a sweater on.
Yep.
She says, move around in it. Moving. She says, that sweater is molded to you. So the sweater does what you do. Right? Your sweater does exactly what you do. It bends the way you do. It moves the way you do. She says, but the sweater's not you.
No.
She says, now, this is what it's like when a person dies. She said, take off your sweater.
Why?
Take off your sweater.
Okay.
So I take off my sweater for my grandma. She says, all right. She says, now, drop it on the ground.
Why?
She says, that's what happens when you die. She says, does that sweater feel anything now?
No.
Can it move?
No.
She says, it's dead. It's just a piece of dead cloth. She says, that's what happens when you die. You take off the clothing of this body and lay it down, and the real you departs. And she says to me, and she's in her little rocking chair, she says, come here.
What?
Come here. She says, and when the real you leaves that body, your soul, your spirit, leaves that body, she says, and if you love Jesus, she says, come here. And she leans over from her rocking chair and gives me a big hug and a kiss on her cheek. She says, Jesus welcomes you home, just like this. The Apostle Paul even writes about the tent of this body. This grows old, sometimes grows sick. This wears out. Some of us, a couple of hairs drop out. Just a couple. This wears out, just like your car wears out. Just like any machinery wears out. But the real you, your spirit, man, your spirit goes home to be with Jesus. Or, if you reject Him, it goes into the fire of hell forever and ever and ever. And you'll be a believer then, but trust me. There are no atheists in hell. They all believe now, because they're all screaming for God. Oh, God, why did you do this? They rejected Him. They had the choice. They made their decision. I've been with people that said, I used to do prison ministry. So nobody can act tougher than I can. You can't con me. Yeah, they were tough. They were bad dudes. But I was pretty crazy way back when. And when they say, oh, I don't believe I don't believe that God would cast me into hell. I said, you're not as bad as you think. Only the love of Jesus can get us from this rotten world into a perfect world. This here is, man, this last 60 years, 70 years, maybe 80, some people even 100. But let me ask you something. All the stuff you worry about right now, all the stuff you freak out about right now and are concerned about, what's going to happen 50 years from tonight? Where are you going to be 50 years from tonight? Because it goes by fast, even for you young guys. 50 years from tonight, you probably will still be here. But that, most of us will be gone. So all the little puny, piddly things that we freak out about now won't mean a hill of beans. The question is, what are you doing for Jesus now? Are you living for Him now? Making the most of life now? Making the most of every moment to love people? Love people into heaven. Bring them with you. Who will be in heaven because of you? That's my question tonight. God will ask that question. Who will be in heaven because of you? What did you do with my son Jesus? Who did you help lead to my son? Make the most of every moment. Seize the moment. Seize the day. King David wrote this in Psalm 116. And this is our promotion. This is about our promotion from this world to the next. Precious in the sight of God is the death of His saints. Why? Because for the Christian, for the Christ follower like you and me, death is birth into heaven. The process, don't get me wrong, the process may sometimes be painful and even long. But the end result is so glorious, so wonderful that it staggers the mind of man to even grasp it. What happens when the righteous die? What does happen? In the first moment, split second after your last breath, your last heartbeat, angels will escort you into heaven and into the presence of God. Jesus implied as much when telling the story of the rich man and Lazarus, the poor beggar. Jesus said, so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. There was an old Assembly of God pastor, Pastor Ken, you might know the story, and I'll try to be as accurate as I can. I believe he pastored down in Texas. Pastored a big church, maybe back in the 1970s. A wonderful man of God, well-aged in years. Everybody loved him. He was in the church. He was in failing health. He was there on a Sunday morning to preach a sermon, and he was really ill. I mean, terminally ill. And this big church had a balcony, just like this one, only this was a really big church. And the pastor, during praise and worship, he usually would stand and worship and raise his hands, but this Sunday morning he just sat in this chair, kind of slumped over on the platform. And when it was time for him to get up and preach, he gets up very weakly and feebly. And he steps to the pulpit, and he looks in that balcony, up into the corner, very corner of the balcony, and he says this, "Sir, I know why you're here, but I'm not quite ready yet. Please let me deliver and finish my message, and I'll be right with you." And he preached his message. He ended the message with a prayer. Very feebly went back to his chair. They started playing music to close the service. The pastor, the much beloved pastor, sat in that chair, folded his hands, and he died. That man he was talking to was an angel. And we all have heard stories, and maybe you know people who have seen an angel or angels right before they go. to take him home to be with the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. See, God himself will meet you and me at the gates of heaven and wipe away every tear from our eyes. The Bible says, "For the Lamb, Jesus, who is in the midst of the throne, will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Loved ones, you will never have to say goodbye again. You'll never feel physical or emotional pain anymore. You'll never experience another moment of regret, remorse, or rejection from anybody. You will receive a dazzling white robe of righteousness without spot or wrinkle. Ephesians chapter 5 says that he might present her, the bride of Christ, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. The church, we are the church. The church is the bride of Christ. And see, God is preparing us to step into eternity with him at any moment. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you prepared for your promotion? See, dear ones, now is the time to do what God has called you to do. God doesn't want you to sit like a bump on the log and just endure life. Today, and again tomorrow, is your opportunity to tell somebody else about Jesus. Lord knows if you were to play the lottery, if you played lotto, and we know no Pentecostal people play lotto, do they? Let's just say you were to hit that. You would be shouting and running up and down the streets. And yet you and I possess the greatest news the world has ever known. And why don't we share it? Why don't we shout it from the housetops? Jesus Christ pulled me out of a gutter of drug abuse, alcoholism, debauchery, unbridled sin, and cleaned me up and cleaned you up, washed away all your wounds, all your sins with his own blood, and made you worthy, worthy to be a son and daughter of God, a citizen of heaven. You're not a citizen of heaven in the sweet by and by. Yes, you are. But guess what? You're a citizen now. We're blessed to live in America and be born in America, but we're pilgrims here. We're strangers in a strange land. We don't belong here. Heaven is our home. Now is the time to do what God's called you to do. Tell somebody about Jesus. Love your neighbor. Do good in Jesus' name. Remember, look at your clock, because the clock is winding down. It's 5 minutes till midnight. Jesus is coming soon. Time's almost up. But the good news is, the best is yet to come. Why do we see Christians today with such drawn-out, draggy looks, like I said last night, looking like you swallowed a curtain rod? We ought to be the most joyful people on the planet, because we got something other people need to have. The love of Jesus, the presence of Jesus, the passion of Jesus. Wake up! Wake up! Time is short. If I'm stepping on toes tonight, so be it. God will heal your feet in about 10 minutes. This is my last night here. Yell at Pastor Ken for me making you mad. No, I would never leave. I promise pastors I will never leave them a mess to mop up the next day. I will not do that. I told Pastor Ken and Mary Kay today, this is one of the sweetest, kindest groups of people I have known in 4 years of this type of ministry, of traveling ministry. And I'm not just saying that to gain your favor. I truly mean it. There's a sweet spirit of Jesus in this place and in your lives. You've got something special here. You can change the world beginning with this town. How? Through the power of the Holy Spirit in you and the power of the love of Jesus Christ. You are the light that pierces the darkness in this area. You are the light of the world, Jesus said. You. Time's almost up. Let's get to it. You need not be afraid of leaving your comfort zone. Men and women cannot discover new oceans unless they have the courage to lose sight of the shore behind them. Now is the time to get ready. Heaven is only a heartbeat away. One heartbeat away. I don't care how young you are, how old you are, it's one heartbeat away. And Jesus is coming back soon. But if he tarries, if he waits, every one of us here will die. I read statistics. 100% of us in this room will die. I think it's pretty accurate. Let me ask you this. And I'm being serious. I mean, I'm serious right now. Because I know I'm talking to a couple of people, three or four people at the very least tonight. Do you know for certain, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that heaven will be your eternal home? Ah, Tony, I've come to this church for 30 years. That's not what I said. That's not what I asked you. Are you born again? Have you made Jesus Christ your personal Savior and Lord? If you were to leave this place tonight and drop dead, Lord forbid, or die in your sleep, do you know for certain that you're going to heaven? Do you know? Because if you don't, Jesus said, you can have that blessed assurance. And you must be born again. You can make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life tonight. And be certain of spending eternity with Him. I'm going to close with this. I really am going to close with this. A very well-known preacher and theologian of years gone by. I don't remember. I can't name his name because I don't remember right now. This man was a great orator, a great preacher of the gospel, and a great scholar of biblical truth. A brainiac, spiritual brainiac. Very well loved and respected by his students, by his church family, very large church family. Oh, what a brilliant man of the Bible. This man was on his deathbed, very ill, terminally ill, and on his deathbed in his final hours, one of his students came in to visit him, and he said, Dr. So-and-so, he says, I want to ask you something. He says, after these many years of studying the Bible and writing such great papers and books and giving sermons that were just almost otherworldly, Dr. So-and-so, please impart to me now what is the deepest, most amazing truth that you have ever learned. And the old man was laying there in his bed and he had his Bible next to him on the bed. still so weak, barely able, he grabbed that Bible and he lifted it up to his chest where his heart was. He said, "Son, do you want to know the most wonderful truth that I've ever learned?" He says, "Here it is. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so." Again, we will find no peace until we find our peace in Him. Please bow your heads. I want to pray over everyone here tonight, please. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Dear ones, you are so special to God. Every single one of us. So precious to Him. And the Bible says God is not willing that any of us should perish and go to hell. He's not. But we make that decision. He's given us a free will to make that decision for ourselves. He doesn't want robots. He wants children, loving children. Are you ready to go to heaven? Are you ready, if you died tonight or in this next week, to meet Jesus? Or have you rejected Him up to this point? The Bible says that for you who have held off, I ain't ready. For those of you who have delayed this, the Bible says that, hey, today is the day of salvation. That right now is the appointed time for you. You can accept it or reject it. It's up to you. But it'll be the most wonderful decision you've ever made, because tonight's decision for Jesus, it'll change your entire life. And I mean forever. All eternity, you'll know heaven's going to be your home. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you now, dear sir, dear ma'am, whoever you are, young person, church member for many years, let me ask you this. If you have never truly made, if you don't remember ever making Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior, but you're ready now and you want to be sure that heaven is your eternal destination, raise your hand right now. I will never embarrass you, I promise. Thank you. Thank you, dear sister. Thank you. That's one hand. Anyone else? If I only came here this week for that one hand, that one precious soul, this trip was absolutely entirely worth it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to consider this another moment or two. No pressure. I mean it, no pressure. This is your divine, this is eternity we're talking about. This is your decision. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Praise God. Anyone else? You want to see Jesus. You want to know Him intimately, lovingly. Thank you. Thank you. Another hand. Thank you so much. God love you. God bless you. Now listen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. For those of you who raised your hands, and those of you even on the verge of raising your hand, I need to ask you to do this one thing. Those whom Jesus called, He called publicly. All right? He said, if you will acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father who is in heaven. But if you are ashamed of me and will not acknowledge me before men, I will not acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. Those whom he called publicly. And I told you just moments ago, I promise you, I would never do anything to embarrass you who raised your hands. Ever. But I want to pray with you right now. And I want to ask you to get up out of your seat. And please just join me up front. Everybody here loves you. Come on. Those of you who raise your hands, please, come on, join me. I just want to pray with you. It's just going to take a minute or two at the most. Come on. This is the greatest decision you will have ever made. Don't resist. Don't white knuckle it on the pew in front of you. Come on. Come on. Come on. A few other hands went up. Come on. Come on, young lady. God bless you. Come on. Oh, God loves you guys. Come here. Pastor Ken, please come and join us. We're just going to make a little circle right here. We're not going to embarrass you guys in the least. Come on, ma'am. Praise God. Did anyone else raise your hand? I know there were four for sure. Anyone else want to join our group right here? This is the most important moment of your life. This is it. This is, oh man, this is life-changing right here. We're going to pray, and then I'm going to finish. I have something else I want to say to you guys. God bless you. This is awesome. Let's join hands. Let's join hands. Pray this prayer after me with all your heart, and mean it with all your heart, okay? Lord Jesus, I stand here before you, in front of all these people, but more importantly, before your face, I trust in you. I love you. And I ask you to forgive me of all my sins, of all my mistakes, of everything evil that I've ever done or thought. And Lord, I believe in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead. Just for me. To open the gates of heaven. So that I may live there. With you. When it's my time. Forever. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Spirit. With your love. With your power. With your passion for people. And I promise you. I will live for you. And serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You have made the most important decision of your life. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family of God. Ladies, gentlemen who came forward, you know what the Bible says to you? You know what the Bible says? Jesus said this. Angels around us and angels in heaven are celebrating because of the decision that you made tonight. They're having a party on your account. Amen. They're celebrating. Welcome to the family. Now let me encourage you. Please attend church. Please attend church. Do it on a regular basis. You need the help and the love of other brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. We need each other. Talk to Pastor Ken. He'll get you hooked in. He'll get you plugged in to a neat small group or whatever you have here to help new believers. And listen, if you slip up, and if you sin, guess what? You're going to do it. We all do. When you do, blow it. Don't run from Jesus. Run to Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me. And He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You keep moving forward with the Lord. I love you guys. You really made the greatest step of your eternal existence tonight. Tonight. God bless you.
I'm never sure.
Pastor Ken, go ahead.
I'm never sure.